Have you come ready today to approach the throne of God? The book of the writer of Hebrews tells us that we come by a new and living way, as through the blood of the Lord Jesus. We come because we have a high priest who has gone in before us. There's a big difference of coming to God's house and wanting to worship in traditional man's dead ways of religion, right? As opposed to actually coming before the throne of God, which Jesus has made available to us in and through and by His death, and only because of His blood do we have that opportunity to come and worship a true God, personally, intimately, fully. Today we're going to be talking about the power of God's love shaping our future. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 is where we're going to start. But I want to give you a couple thoughts and challenges before we get into this. I'm going to be doing a series of messages that the power of God's love, He's working in all of these things that we might find and have victory in and through Him. It's something that's going to lead us to the throne of God. It's going to lead us to the cross. It's going to lead us to the empty tomb. And as we look at these things, we're going to find that it was God's love that first of all initiated all of this. He was the first one that acted upon that love and giving us an opportunity to respond to that love. And because of His love, we have an opportunity to look at our future and have a hope that gives us peace and a strengthening, even in the face of difficulties and uncertainty and fear. We've had several politicians that walked to a podium and addressed the entire nation and claimed that they were the new hope. They brought the new hope. If you don't believe me, I'll just show you some videos. There's all over the place. The sad thing is that they have the arrogancy and the pride of saying that they're going to be able to do that. It's totally, completely unreal and untrue, bordering on biblical, may I say, even goes deeper, much deeper, in the spiritual opposition that's going on in our world right now. Can I assure you right now and here today that we will never have a president that will clear everything up? We will never have an individual that will step into Congress and straighten it all out. We will never have a time that a certain political party will set it all right. We are on our way to destruction as a nation. Do we deserve it? God determines that. I love our nation. I have been spoiled. I have taken for granted. I have been blessed more than I ever should have been by being in this nation. And I would be willing to do any and all that I could to defend it. But my friend, this nation will not answer your eternal problems. It will not give you the security that you need. Now, I'm saying all this not for you to be a child of God and disconnect yourself with your civic duties to go to the poll, to be involved, to be aware, to be educated on the actual events that are going on in our political system. You and I need to be a part so that we will vote, number one, our biblical principles, not our stinking pocketbook that we just keep doing over and over and over, and some reason expect different results. We fail to look at scriptures and see the mandates that are held, and we think, well, we're never going to find a politician that's going to fulfill that, but yet we stop at digging to find the very best that we can. I am not calling you to be disengaged in your civic duty. What I'm asking you to do is to place your hope where it belongs and allow the Spirit to empower you, to guide you, and to encourage you to get involved where He wants you and calls you to be. He might even ask you to go into a place that you never felt comfortable about. Folks, within our own sister churches, we have pastors, we have youth pastors, we have deacons, we have many that are getting involved in politics because they're tired of seeing things go by the wayside and realizing that we each individual, as an individual, have responsibilities. And I'm excited about that, but I'm terrified for them all at the same time. So we have to come to a place of who is it that's shaping our future? Now, first of all, we could say that, well, God's doing it, and I'm going to sit here and wait until He finishes it. This is not what this is a call to. But it's a challenging of worry versus trust. And I'm going to get to that. That's my first point. Not quite there yet, Brother Kurt. But this really is the challenge of what we're looking at today. Do we really truly believe that God shapes our future? I got a couple thoughts before we get into this. Warren Wiersbe has a quote that I'm just blown away by. I want you to see it. I want you to remember it. Most Christians are being crucified on a cross between two thieves. Yesterday's regret, tomorrow's worry. My goodness. Warren Wiersbe is all over my toes already, right? Can you relate to that? I think every one of us can. The regrets of yesterday, the worry of tomorrow. I think I've almost been there and camped out there for the last couple years, if I can be very honest with you. As I hate to admit, I've tried not to be, but I find myself gritting my teeth, wringing my hands much more than I should be. And you know what? I don't want to be that. How about you? I don't want to be a disgrace and a disappointment to the Lord. I want to be an example. I want to live that example. But can I tell you that things have been rough and aggravating and disappointing all at the same time? So how do we get past that? God put me in a bigger house, a better place, and a better community. Won't work, will it? Can you testify to that? It's not going to work. Oh, Lord, give me a better job. Give me better pay. We put our hearts and minds on so many things that are simply symptomatic, and we never take care of the actual issue. And it's disbelief, unbelief, lack of faith, putting God in a place that He does not belong, doubting Him, ignoring Him, not loving Him. Now, we wouldn't do this outright and say that I'm going to do that, but yet we turn around and do it in our own actions and reactions to what God is calling us to do. Are you with me? Too often He's calling and giving us opportunity, and we have one excuse after another, and it's usually symptomatic of all these things that I presented to you this morning already. I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough of that. I've got too many problems. I've got too many difficulties. But you know what? As 2 Timothy reminded us, God has not called us or given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Worry does not bring us to a place of sound mind, does He? Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I want us to read our text. As you follow along in God's Word, Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the blood, the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow or reap or gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? I always wanted to be taller. I had a very dear friend, loved him to death, 6'8". And you know, I used to tell him, I said, man, I just wish I was as big as you are. And he goes, you don't want to be as big as I am. He said, you don't fit anywhere, nothing fits right, cars are too small, da-da-da-da-da. You know, he gives me all this list. And I go, no, I just want to be as big as you are. I would just go around tearing things up, picking things up, just because I could. You know, when I was younger, I got stuffed in a, let me say, in my defense, they tried stuffing me in lockers and all those fun things, but I was just wiry enough and mean enough. They didn't want it. They tried a couple times, and they didn't want any more of me, and I didn't want any more of them, but they tried. And I thought, man, if I could just be bigger, I'd throw them all around. I'd stuff them in that locker. But you know what? I never did get bigger. Now, eventually I did. I'm bloated a little bit right in the middle, you know. I got bigger in some areas, but I never really accomplished what the bigness I wanted, if that's horrible grammar. I know it is. What is it that we can change? We sit and worry and wring our hands over. What is it that we can change? I'll tell you what you can change. You throw away your peace. Let Satan rob you of every bit of joy you ever had. Ruin your health. Ruin your face. Change the color of your hair. Make yourself bloated just like me. And you know what? They're linking all kinds of cancers and health problems to, you know what? Stress. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask your blessing upon the reading of the word, but also your spirit to guide us in the understanding. Lord, I just pray you use me today. Fill in the gaps where I fail so miserably. And simply I stand here in ignorance of myself, of just knowing the power that you've called us to. Lord, reveal to us by your Spirit and by your Word. Help us be the children of God that you called us to be, not what we end up worrying ourselves into becoming. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Worry versus trust. An example here, he gives us examples. The birds, they don't toil or plant or sow, and yet I take care of them. And he says, do I not love you more? Are you not of greater value than they? He goes to Solomon. He says, look, you worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on. And he says, even Solomon, he said, compare him to the lilies of the valleys and compare Solomon. He uses two extremes, doesn't he, here? You know, those lilies that grow all throughout the valleys, they're beautiful, aren't they? Amazing beauty. And so we go to the greatest extreme of someone that has the most that has ever been known in the history of Israel. He says, Solomon, even him and all of his greatness was not even in comparison. And yet, I plant them throughout the field, and one day, I'm going to throw it all into the oven. Don't you think you're of greater value and of much more worth? Here's something that's really interesting, is that when we question about God's care for our every need, does he really take care of every single need? Now, in this, I believe that when we look at this, is actually, and when we look in context, I think that God is using this to get us to trust in him, but yet he keeps talking about our treasures. And so when we look at this, we are constantly looking at, well, treasured things that we value, where our heart is. And I'm going to get in that in just a minute. But I want to ask you, does he truly provide for our every need? In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 5, Moses is reminding them of the law. They're preparing to go into the promised land. And Moses rehearsing the law and say, look, you're going to go in. There's pagan gods. I know you. I've watched you. You're going to go in and you're going to worship those gods. I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't do it. God will bless you, but you must worship him. You must be faithful to him. You're going to look at all the things that the pagans have and you're going to want them and you're going to get sidetracked. And you're going to deter away from what God has done. And he begins to rehearse their history. Deuteronomy. I got to get caught up in my notes here. There it is. Verse 5, he says, and I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. They walked and they traveled for 40 years in the same pair of shoes. I tell you what, Nike gets a hold of that formula, they would go out of business, wouldn't they? In fact, in other places in Scripture, it says that their feet did not even swell. You ever gone hiking? You got to get a pair of shoes and you better try them out, because if they're too narrow, too small, they're going to kill you. Because after about 2 or 3 days of walking, your feet swell because your body's pumping as much blood and energy to that foot because you're putting so much pressure on it. And you have to adjust your shoes each and every day to accommodate the performance and stress that you're putting your body under. And yet not here. God took care of all that. Oh, we study so much in athletics and science, and how do we deal with all these things, and just discovering all these challenges that we face, and yet God knows every detail before we even understood. He knows us, our needs, our desires, down to the deepest detail that no one else, maybe a need that you've never word or voice to anyone else, God knows that need even before you do. Now, here's something that I want us to get into. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, and going back to the text, actually, I'm going back to a verse right before where we read. He gives us a concept of how that we view our treasures. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your what? Will be also. You ever hear the commercial, credit card, their tagline is, where is your wallet? Love that. That's what this verse is asking us. Where is your wallet? That's in my pocket, Pastor. No. What is it that you're spending your money on? Did you know that you can follow an individual's heart as you follow their wallet? You ever think of that? Where they spend their money, that's what they love. That's a reality. My grandma, I call her Granny now. She graduated. You know, there's too many grandmas. So she said, you all need to call me Granny. I'm tired of turning my head and you weren't talking to me. And so Granny, she would always get me something. And every time I go visit, she'd have a little toy, a little trinket, a little pocket knife or something that she wanted to give me and just always had something. And you know, my grandma and my grandpa had almost little to nothing. But every time that she had something, she would always get me something. You wonder why I'm spoiled. I was the favorite, you know. It's funny, you know, I always got teased about that. And now that I'm older, I just, you know, I could take it much more maturely that I'm older. I just tell them all, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, I'm still the favorite, you know. I take it much more maturely, you know. But she would always give me something. You know why? I had her heart. And honestly, it really wasn't anything that I did. It's that she chose to love me. And that just kept growing. And it kept growing for both of us. Do you realize that when we invest and where we spend our time, our talent, our tithe, and our testimony reveals what we love? When we tell God, I just don't have time, what do you make time for? That's what you love. Are you with me? But here's something that I'm thinking of. If we truly love the Lord, then we're going to be investing in His kingdom. That's where I read Matthew 6:33, a little bit out of order there, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So now He begins to shift things and prioritize them, but what He's doing is that when your heart is in the right place, your treasure will follow, right? So here's something that got me thinking. Do you realize what you're worth? Now, if He has set this as a standard for us, the thing that you love the most, you will invest in the most. And folks, I think our distortion of understanding how to spend our wealth and how to invest our lives, our rebellion, our inconsistencies, automatically cause us to doubt that, think that God has inconsistencies when He does not. Do you notice the defense that He keeps showing is that you watch the lilies of the field. They don't grow. They don't toil. They don't spin. I'm in Matthew 6:28, verse 30. He says, you know, they don't do all these things, but yet even Solomon in his greatest glory wasn't even in comparison to these. Listen, how much more would I clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And we kind of bow our heads and scuff our feet and say, man, He's talking to me. I don't want to have a weak faith. I don't want to be of a weak faith, but man, that's me. Why? Because we don't know how much He loves us. He tells us to make Him our passion and our love. And then our treasure is going to follow. You know, so many things that we fight about discipleship, we fight ourselves about church attendance, we fight ourselves about Bible study, we fight ourselves about committing and following Him. The key is that you fall in love with the Lord Jesus, and all of this follows. Guys, remember when we were courting our wives? We pick up the biggest thing that we know it's going to take us 3 days to be able to stand upright. But man, if she'll watch me pick this up, whoo, baby, look at that guy. So are you watching? Now me, I go do dishes. I hate dishes. My mom made me do dishes since I was 10 years old, and oh, I hate doing dishes. But if I go and Dawn comes home and I'm doing dishes, woo-wee. Say, Dawn. Dawn, you see, yeah, I see you're doing dishes. That's right. And I give her the eyebrow. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, folks, kids are in children's church. We're working up. Yeah, this is foreplay. I'm showing my wife some love. Are you with me? Now you all look at me like I'm not human. You know what I'm saying? I'm showing love because I tell her, as we're conversing back and forth, I said, Dawn, who do I do dishes for? Only me. That's right. That's right. You know why? Because I love you. Now, see, we make a game out of that. Oh, I do. She rolls her eyes and says, oh, you're such an idiot, you know? But I'm showing love. Are you with me? When we fall in love with the Lord, all of those things that, oh, I don't like doing this, but I'm telling you what, Lord, I love you. I know what you did for me. And you know, this is a weird way, but I'm stay with me, okay? That same intimacy that we have with our wives, God is building us and teaching us that a reality can be taking place in our own hearts toward Him. Now, this is not a fleshly weird thing that, as I watch some of you ladies just blush when I shared that with Dawn and I, but we need to get real today, don't we? There is a deep intimacy that we should be expressing to the Lord that we're not going to blurt out in men's meeting when we're talking with the guys, okay? Are you with me? Or maybe we need to grow to that place that we do share that of what we love in the Lord, and they all bow their heads and say, man, this guy's embarrassing me. Do we have to talk about this? Maybe we do. Maybe we do. Because too long we've been living in a weak faith, running after things that do not matter, wasting our time and our money and energy into things that simply do not matter. And you know what His response is to that? Do you know how much I love you? That is His response. Worry can cause us to lose perspective of who we are and who God truly is. That's the problem. Matthew 6:25, He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? The answer is yes. Can we ask ourselves, we've worked our entire lives, investing everything that we can to accumulate things, to give comfort to our family, to give comfort to our kids, to hand down an inheritance or whatever it may be that we're striving to obtain, and come to find out that when we die, it's just going to be given off to someone else or misused by our kids and not appreciated because they really didn't work for it. While the reality is that we find that if we truly would have trusted in the love that the Lord God had for us, that we would have thrown aside all caution and worry and doubt and would have dove in headfirst into the adventures of ministry and given ourselves to the Lord in a way that we only talked about and theorized about instead of actually living it and experiencing God's love and the intimacy of who He is in our personal lives. God is not giving you things to make you comfortable, but He provides all that we need that we might find our love and our passions in Him. When I read from you in the book of Deuteronomy, as He was rehearsing with the children of Israel, He reminded them, why am I telling you these things? I did all of these things. This is God speaking. I'm telling you all of these things so that you would know that I am God. And so therefore you as a nation, as Israel, would respond in the appropriate way and to worship me, to follow my commandments and obey me and become the light that I chose for you to be among all other nations. But you know what? They never were that light until they followed Him and obeyed Him. When they stop following Him and stop obeying Him, they cease to be that light and they begin to look just like the pagans around them. Folks, we're living in the same situation today. Another quote I want to share with you. Our future is shaped by the pursuits we follow and the things that we love. What is shaping you today? Brother Kurt, pull up that quote from Charles Spurgeon at the very end of point three. As we're talking about worry, I'm going to continue this probably next week, but I want us to think about the anxieties of life, the worry. Anxiety. Did you know that Charles Spurgeon was someone that struggled desperately with depression? Do you know that? The prince of preachers, one of the kings of the pulpit that would gather thousands and thousands at a time, sharing the gospel over and over and over, multiple places, multiple times, would go home empty, exhausted, used up for the glory of God in his flesh, struggling with depression. Wow, really? Are you sure? It's true. Crippling depression. Too often, folks, we think that by serving God and following Him, that He's going to solve all these problems. Do you realize as Paul prayed, Lord, just remove this thorn in my flesh. He didn't label it. You know why? Because he doesn't need to label it, because we've all got one. But he went back three times, oh, Lord, remove it. And the only answer he got was, my grace is sufficient. My love for you is all you need. God is not calling you for your purpose. He is not calling you and answering your prayer to satisfy your needs and your desires. He's doing so to answer his purpose, to bring you to a place of greater service, deeper sacrifice, and a deeper understanding of his love and his power. Anxiety. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but it only empties today of its strength. What is shaping you today? Where are your passions today? Is the power of God truly shaping your future? Or have you just been putting on a good face when you come here to see us? And then you go home right back to your fears and your worry and wringing of the hands and doubting God over and over. What is our takeaway today? I want you to ask yourself, what is shaping my future? What are the pursuits that you're following that are not yielding a closer relationship with the Lord? In our men's retreat this week, Brother Ben Kingston challenged us with a question that I think strikes to the very heart of each and every one of us. What is it that's in your life right now, if it is left unchecked, is going to lead you to a place of destruction? What is it? What is that one thing that's going to simply destroy everything that God has tried to build in your life? Can I remind you that whatever that is, whatever that struggle is, whatever that sin may be, that if it's left unchecked, it'll bring us destruction, but God can overcome it with just one prayer of repentance. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior today? This is a first and foremost requirement. We can't make God the very center of our love and our passions if we haven't made Him Lord of our life yet. Oh, we can talk about God being the God of our future all day, but if He's not God of your life right now, He won't be Lord of your life tomorrow. Amen? Is the worry of today robbing you of the joy of tomorrow? Folks, I think we're locked in. And we need to ask ourselves that. Have you forgotten who you are? We get wrapped up in sin. We get wrapped up in the consequences of our sin. And we look around and think, I've messed up. Gone too far. I think that thought probably crossed Jonah's mind as he was pulling seaweed off of his shoulder, the nauseating smell of rotten fish floating around him, bumping fish heads here and there, sitting on the bottom of the ocean, wondering, why didn't I just go to Nineveh? Do you find yourself there today? Do you know what? He cried out, and God heard him. No one else did. No one else knew where he was. But God knew where he was. And with one prayer of repentance, God delivered him in that fish to the shores of Nineveh, where he was far, far away, and says, now I'm ready to use you. I'm going to send you. Are you reminded that he truly loves you? And can I remind you that he loves rebellious children too? You don't have to be perfect. But my friend, he's going to make us perfect one day. But for now, we trust his love. Aspire heads. Father, as we bow before you today, we come broken. We come simply. For Lord, there is no one else that knows us as you do. Oh, we can claim that you are creator and you know all of these things of your creation, but Lord, even that escapes us because we can't even begin to understand all that is around us. We're amazed by your creation, but yet we don't know it like you do. But there is one thing that we can understand, is that each time that you move upon our hearts, the victories that you have brought, the times of forgiveness that you have delivered us, and the testimony of your Spirit telling us, are you not worth more than these? Lord, help us to know that. Never was your love based upon what I could or could not do. Never was your love based upon whether I understood and planned just perfectly or just right. You came and died for us before we ever knew that we had a need of a Savior. You were already poised and ready from the very beginning, from the beginning of the earth, but yet even before that, you stood in all eternity to be the Savior that I needed before I even knew I needed one. Lord, help us to break through the lies and the anxieties that seem to shackle us. Oh, the regrets that we keep rehearsing in our heads over and over. Lord, may we come to the cross and rehearse those regrets in repentive brokenheartedness, that you may deliver us from it once and for all. Lord, I can't change yesterday. I don't even know what's coming tomorrow. But Lord, we can resolve what is today. Lord, free our hearts. Free our spirits. That we may be faithful to you. But more than that, Lord, teach us to fall in love with you. Change our hearts and our attitudes. Capture us with the love that you've already had, but yet we have kept you at an arm's distance, not embracing you as you have already reached out to us. Lord, may you love your people. May you open our hearts and our minds to receive that love. Help us to set aside the regrets and the doubts and the worries that will fully trust in you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power that has changed us, that has called us, and that one day will deliver us home, standing in your righteousness, not our own. Use us up for your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.